welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota National Guard, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, and Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Get updates and show information at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Your host is former Command Senior Enlisted Leader for the Minnesota National Guard, retired Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham.
Thank you for joining us and welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. Whether you're tuning in from one of our Minnesota radio stations, our national broadcast, or from a podcast platform, we are glad you are here. Today we're recording on location at the Veterans Service Building here in St. Paul because we're starting our annual series of Year in Review shows. Over the next several weeks, we'll get updates from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, the Commander's Task Force, the Minnesota National Guard, a special legislative update as well. And kicking off the series is the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and here to provide an update is the Commissioner, Commissioner Brad Lindsay. Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Doug. Glad to be here.
All right, so Commissioner, you know, you really get this daunting task of really setting the stage because you are the first one out of the gate to do the Year in Review show. I mean, that's a lot of pressure on you, huh?
Absolutely.
I mean, you've never done radio or anything like that, so you must be really nervous.
I'm setting the bar for those who follow.
Yeah, there you go. Well, that's good, and we're glad to have you here, and thanks for hosting us here at the Veterans Service Building. We're in one of your conference rooms, and appreciate the opportunity to be here, as we'll obviously start with you, and you know, we'll talk to the Commander's Task Force as well, and do some other shows from over here. So again, thank you so much for doing that.
Yeah, very much. Thank you.
All right. So, Commissioner, you know, you and I get to spend this whole show together. Now, this is kind of unusual. The last time we were together was out at the State Fair, and there was a guy by the name of Dave Belfi, your chief of staff, and he had to get in there, you know, because, you know, you really want to share what was going on with the MDVA, and so you let him. But today, I was told that your public affairs person, your comms director, Ann Sonny, she just pushed him aside, and she said, "No, you're not coming in today. This is just the commissioner."
It's pretty brave of her, too, since that's her boss.
Well, you know, I mean, she's a brave woman, you know. Well, we appreciate that, and obviously the support that the MDVA gives to Minnesota Military Radio, and of course, the stuff that you are doing inside of your agency for Minnesota veterans. Now, Commissioner, you've been in position for 2 years now.
Right.
Now, is that the full 2 years of assignment where you're actually selected or appointed, or does that include your temporary time where you're the acting?
That is the point from when I was appointed, yeah. So I had about 9 months, I think it was, in the position as acting or temporary before that.
Yeah, so, all right, so we'll concentrate on the 2 years because, you know, before that, anything that happened, you know, the buck wasn't really stopping with you. Let's face it, you know, you weren't officially the guy.
Right.
But now, everything that happens inside this agency is your fault or you get credit for one way or the other.
Right.
And
right.
So congratulations on that. But
thanks.
Let's talk about the last 2 years. I mean, you know, what are some of the surprises that maybe have come up over, you know, your time, you know, from your years of experience already with the MDVA, but then getting into this, you know, the pinnacle, right? You're at the tip of the spear.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, I spent all of my career prior to this is on the programs and services side, which is a, you know, smaller side, but with a lot of impact and a lot of programs across the state. You know, I didn't have a ton of experience with our veterans' homes because that was under the other deputy commissioner's position. So been a lot of learning on that side of things. You know, I stepped into it too right when we were in the final stages of construction for the three new veterans homes. And that was different from what I had experienced for construction, like in our cemetery side and programs and services, and quite challenging. Just the finish. It seemed like the last few months took longer than the previous couple years to get those all wrapped up and open and get staff in there and get our veterans in place.
And so, then not to mention that all three of them basically opened up like within days of each other.
Exactly. They were originally supposed to be staggered to make it easier on everyone from HR and hiring to the facilities themselves. But with delays in certain parts of construction, different homes, they all pretty much opened right at the same time.
And remind us, Commissioner, where were the three new homes?
So down in Preston, Montevideo and Bemidji were the three new. We went from, you know, 5 homes to 8 homes.
Overnight, basically.
Yeah. And increased our staff by about 300 or so as well. Overnight.
Yeah. And so. I mean, I know we'll probably talk about it again a little bit later on, but staffing for those homes, is it still kind of an issue for you too?
Yeah, it's a challenge for sure. You know, COVID drove a lot of healthcare workers kind of out of the industry.
Yeah.
And so every healthcare facility or environment, I think, is challenged in finding staff, and no different for us. So, yeah, we've definitely had a challenge in those three areas. We're just over 50% capacity at Preston and Bemidji. And doing a little better in Montevideo, we're a little over 70% of capacity or census there at that facility. So we're getting there, but it's slow. You know, we've opened up some different avenues, which we didn't use in the past. One thing we're really doing with our certified nurses assistants is we're hiring them as WillTrains, so they don't have to have any experience. They can apply to us, and we'll send them through our own training program and get them certified, and then they'll come to work for us. So that's increased our hiring in the last few months that we've implemented that as well. So.
Well, that's an interesting concept. I mean, is that something that has been in practice in other parts of healthcare, or is this something new to MDVA or to the industry?
It's new to MDVA. I think in the industry, private nursing homes, it's fairly common, but we hadn't been required or hadn't had the need to utilize that in the past, but with the shortages, we had to shift gears a little bit and try something new.
And so I just want to make sure we clarify this for our listening audience. You know, obviously you're wanting to hire, but when you talk about the census, what you're talking about is not what your capacity is for space, capacity of what is you can support for residents. Is that right?
Correct. Yep. At our Montevideo and Bemidji homes, we have 72 beds, and we have 54 beds at Preston. And, you know, they're split into different households, 2 households at Preston, 3 households at each of the other two. And, you know, you got to have an adequate number of staff to open a new household and to be able to bring in new residents to fill that household.
Yeah. So, and I'm guessing, based on previous conversations we've had, that the waiting list is there. So you have people that want beds. Mm-hmm. We just need staff so that those veterans can get a place to go.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things when the veterans homes were approved, I think the thought was it would reduce the overall waiting list at our current facilities. And, you know, what it actually did is created 3 additional waiting lists.
Yeah.
Because, you know, all things are kind of local. So, you know, people don't want to travel 2-3 hours to see their relatives who are in a facility or in one of our homes. But if you put one in their backyard, they're going to want to be there. So,
yeah. All right. So, you know, we spent some time there, and then obviously the state veterans cemeteries, you opened up that new one in Redwood Falls. And I mean, that had to have been a challenge in and of itself too.
Yeah. They're a little easier to work with. You know, the, when you're working with VA, the National Cemetery Administration that we work with in that instance, are really excellent to work with and make a lot of effort and really consider our state veteran cemeteries as part of themselves. So they're very accommodating. But, yep, we opened Redwood Falls, and with that, having 4 veteran cemeteries in the state, we finally felt that we had enough staff and enough additional work there, where we have created a new division recently. That was previously part of Veterans Programs and Memorial Affairs Division. I had 3 directorates in the Programs and Services side, and now we have 4, with Dave Swantek, our long-serving deputy director, is now in charge of the Memorial Affairs, the 4 state cemeteries, and the other programs under that area. So.
And we've had Dave on the show multiple times, and I think it's true. Isn't he the longest tenured employee at the MDVA, or is he close to it?
Not at MDVA in general. We have some folks in the homes who are over 40 years.
Okay.
But he started in 1996.
We like to say 1996 when we refer
I like to say before the turn of the century. That's when I started as well. But yeah, he's got 3 years on me in that regard. But we were both here when the agency only had 28 staff. Wow. We were two of them.
Wow. Yeah. I bet you guys got some great stories. Commissioner, I want to end it here and then take a quick break, and then we'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about other things that have happened over the last couple of years, and then we'll eventually get to talk about what's coming ahead. All right?
Excellent.
Excellent. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I have the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs here with me. We're up in St. Paul at the Veterans Service Building doing our year-in-review show with the MDVA. And, Commissioner, you talked a little bit about healthcare. You talked about the cemeteries. And I think it might be worthwhile to just spend a minute or two explaining how the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs serves our veterans. What is the makeup of your agency, and what services are you able to provide to our veterans in Minnesota?
That is a big question, because we're fortunate in Minnesota that we've had a lot of support from the legislators and from our governors now and in the past to continue expanding our benefits available. But like I said, programs and services side, we have our four divisions now. Already talked about the four state veteran cemeteries and memorial affairs, but we've also got veterans education. So we've got higher ed campus reps out across the state in different districts and locations. I believe yesterday I was told we now have 48 veterans resource centers in the different universities across the state where we assist veterans and their family members who are going to school and utilizing a veterans program of one type or another. They also have our state approving agency, who is kind of a contract with the VA. They go out to the schools and make sure that the programs the schools are providing and training our veterans with are really up to snuff and are going to lead to good degrees, which will get them good jobs in the long term.
So no underwater basket weaving.
That might be a proof program, but I don't know how successful it would be for job placement. But, there are things that have been discontinued in the past because of not meeting the requirements. So that's kind of veterans preference is also under that section. So anyone who works in city, county, state employment is entitled to veterans preference in hiring and also in discharge. And that section takes care of and represents those folks and assists with that. Beyond that, we have where I started at, the State Soldiers Assistance Program, which I believe is also familiar to you.
Yeah, very much so, yes, sir.
And, that is our oldest program within the department, going back to the 20s.
And actually started before the agency was the agency.
It did. It did, yeah. Absolutely. Yep, it was under DHS, well, what is now DHS, back then. So we have dental and optical programs within that. We have short-term disability assistance. We've got veterans relief grants for veterans who have, unforeseen circumstances. Good example coming up this weekend. It's going to be cold as it's been this year. And, a veteran's furnace goes out and that's quite a big expense. Maybe they can't afford that. We have assistance under the Veterans Relief Program to assist with something like that. Our homeless efforts are also under that division, where we've had a lot of success in the last few years. So the entire homeless team, making sure we meet the goal of ending veterans homelessness in Minnesota, which also includes our SOAR folks who assist veterans who are homeless or at risk of homelessness in obtaining Social Security benefits. On the other side, we've got our folks who assist with federal benefits. A lot of them are called claims reps, But much like the SOAR program, they're there to assist veterans applying for VA disability compensation or service-connected pension or other benefits like that, and representing them in their appeals processes and things as well. So we kind of run the gamut on what we can do to help veterans. And that's why we always say, if you've got some kind of need and you are a veteran or survivor of a veteran, best to check in with your county veteran service officer, who's kind of our boots on the ground local representative who can steer you and assist you with applying for any of those benefits, as well as federal programs.
Yeah, no doubt. And just for some clarification here, obviously you mentioned the county veteran service officers. You used to serve as a county veteran service officer in Olmsted County.
Right.
And, you know, great resource for our veterans to get to the benefits, entitlements that they have earned. Mm-hmm. The claims reps that you mentioned from the MDVA can provide that same service if needed as well, can't they?
Yeah, we also have outreach folks who can perform the same function almost as a county veteran service officer. Generally, they assist if in areas that are a little more hard for veterans to access. You know, you may be in a county where your county seat and where your county service officer is 50 miles away from your home, and we've got those mobile resources to back up those county veteran service officers and get somebody up there to provide assistance.
So not the primary, but definitely someone who can be there to help if needed, and they can provide the same services. But the best option always is the county veteran service officer.
That's where I start.
Yeah, perfect. All right, so you talked about, you know, one of the programs is the Homeless Initiative. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this has been a hot topic for quite a while, right? You know, we've had you on before. We've talked about the continuums of care. We've talked about change in policy where, you know, there's really not an established process right now to proclaim the last county, Ramsey, mm-hmm. as reaching functional zero or whatever the new terminology is. So I'm wondering if you can just talk a little bit about where you're at with that and what kind of success the MDVA's had over the last year as it relates to homelessness efforts.
Yeah. Really, it goes back to 2010. That's when the then VA Secretary Shinseki declared that we were going to end veterans homelessness. And so MDVA really jumped in seriously with that in about 2014 when we created our Homeless Veteran Registry, which still exists and is how we track our homeless veterans and how we track getting them housed and our success rates. We've been, like I said, we've put a lot of effort into it. We've been fortunate the legislature has given us a lot of additional funding to provide for actually creating housing, but also providing supportive services over the years. So, yeah, Minnesota is broken down into 10 continuums of care. Each one of those goes through the process of ending veterans' homelessness. 9 of them have reached that federal declaration that they had done so. We're down to, as you said, just Ramsey County is the only county that hasn't gotten a declaration. Our numbers show going back to January of this year that we are there and we have met those previous criteria, but the agency who did those reviews, the U.S. Interagency Council on Homelessness, in coordination with HUD and VA, was eliminated. So with that elimination, we've been seeking a way to get that final declaration because, you know, these communities put a lot of effort into this. You know, it's not just our effort. They put a lot of effort in giving veterans preference in their public housing, a lot of efforts with case managers and stuff like that. And we feel that all that work should be recognized and celebrated. And, you know, one thing I've said to the VA secretary himself is, you know, there hasn't been a state that has declared an end to veterans homelessness in quite a few years now. And if you're not doing that, or if you are doing that, it really gives impetus to other states to show them it can be done.
And Minnesota be the fourth, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think what a important opportunity to recognize the community, the county in this case, but also all of the partners, because I know you can't accomplish that as just the MDVA. You have to be able to rely on other great partners, like, for example, MACV and something like their Veterans Village, for example. I mean, right. those things play a huge role in your efforts, the state's efforts to end homelessness.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we couldn't. The last I remember, we've got like, I believe it's like 78 registry partners. So folks, different organizations, mostly nonprofits, but also the VA and the different counties who actually participate in the process of getting our homeless veterans housed. So, yeah, absolutely. Couldn't do it without them.
Yeah. No, great. Well, before we get into the next topic, if I do, I'm going to have to cut you off. So we'll take another quick break here, and then we'll come back. I want to put a rose into 2025, and then we'll start looking ahead, okay?
Sounds good.
All right, this is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham. Commissioner Brad Lindsay here with me at the Veterans Service Building. We are doing a year-in-review show with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Commissioner, again, thanks for giving us the opportunity to come to your house and do the year-in-review show with you, talk about the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the great things you're doing. Spent some good time talking about, obviously, the agency and the different parts of the agency. I'm just wondering if, you know, if you look back to 2025, what are some of those things that you are really most proud about, or the things that you'd really like to be able to highlight to our listening audience?
Yeah, I think we're always looking for ways over the years where there are especially gaps in services that we may be able to fill. Some of those special efforts, like we talked about veterans homelessness, you know, we put a lot of effort into that, a lot of time, and been relatively successful with that so far, and hope to complete that soon. You know, one of the other things that we kind of really kicked off this last year was our veterans healthcare navigators program. So our part of our suicide prevention efforts. You know, when we look at the numbers of veterans who commit suicide each year, what the data shows is that most of them are not connected in any way to their veterans benefits. So the theory with our healthcare navigators is we put folks out into community hospitals where they may run into veterans, and where we're asking the hospitals to ask the question, are you a veteran or have you served? And when they answer affirmative to that, then we connect them into all the resources we have available. You know, we get them enrolled with VA healthcare. If we can, we get them connected with our programs and services folks to connect them to disability compensation or Social Security benefits or whatever it may be, in the belief that doing so, the more connected they are, that it will lead to a reduction in veteran suicide, which is, you know, especially a big effort we've been ramping up. We're currently working. The legislature gave us some additional funding this past session, and part of that was to create a comprehensive veteran suicide prevention plan. So we've worked with an outside organization to help us put that plan together, and we will have that to the legislature in February or so, which will kind of give us the guidebook, if you will, on how we're going to do this and how we're going to reduce suicide among our veterans in the state every year. It runs and has run for a long time at right around 100 veterans per year who commit suicide in Minnesota. So
yeah, and so do you see this as kind of like a shift in priorities? And I don't know how to actually describe that, right? But I mean, we've spent a lot of effort, time, money concentrating on the homelessness effort. And we know that that's one of the things that maybe could lead to somebody taking their own life by suicide.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you can't just stop looking at that or concentrating on that. So how do you balance the need for homelessness resources and also put this increased effort or emphasis on suicide prevention awareness?
It just has to be recognized, as you said, it's a piece of the puzzle. I looked up the stats here recently. I believe it was veterans who are homeless are 5 to 10 times more likely to commit suicide than those who aren't. And so they're inextricably intertwined. And so you can't just stop one thing and start another because they are so very much connected going forward. You know, on the homeless side, we like to describe the effort as sort of setting up an emergency room. You know, you have veterans come in to the emergency room. You know, we look at everything, we decide what the issues are, and we provide a care plan and we get them back on their feet. You can't just take care of everyone who's in the waiting room and then shut the emergency room down and say, we're done. Mm-hmm. You know, it's an ongoing effort and it's going to be there in the long term. And veteran suicide prevention is just another piece of that puzzle in making sure our veterans are successful and live a full life.
And it's got to be more than just handing out gun locks, for example.
Exactly. That's just another piece of the puzzle again. You know, we know the majority of veterans who die by suicide die by gun violence. So providing the gun locks is a way to try to slow things down a little bit for a veteran who may be having that bad day and thinking about mm-hmm. that gun over there gives them a little more time to think.
Time and distance between. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. I just had an opportunity to sit through some training with my team, and the topic was suicide prevention, of course, and just talking about, you know, all of those things. And, you know, you don't know why, but you have to be able to be willing to ask those questions too, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that's why I think this awareness training and these efforts are so important. I don't know of, at least in the group I was in, there was nobody in there that did not have some type of an impact by someone that had taken their own life or they knew of somebody who had, right?
Right.
And so just being willing to ask those questions and be very pointed about what kind of resources someone might need and really stepping up and taking charge of the situation, because I need you to get help mm-hmm. because I want you to stay in my life.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. That's really the way I see it, that awareness is one of the biggest things. And like I said, it's not just awareness among the veterans, it's awareness among everyone who interacts with the veterans. So, you know, we're doing our trainings and providing that opportunities for family members, clergy members, employers, anybody, just so they know to be able to recognize potential signs and be able to direct or know where to go for help.
Yeah.
To prevent that.
100%. Really important. All right. I want to talk about one more thing from 2025, and I'm going to put you on the spot. So I'm giving you free warning here, or fair warning, right? It has been long tradition that the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs does the state's Veterans Day ceremony. It had been in Invergrove Heights for many, many years. Mm-hmm. Last year, 2024, you moved it to Arden Hills. Mm-hmm. This year, 2025, you did the event down in Mankato.
Right.
So, one, do we know where it's going to be in 2026? But then can you tell us about the event that took place in Mankato? Because I hear the governor said it was the best one ever.
He did. And I don't know if that's because he was biased because it was Mankato and that's where he's from. But I think it was a great event. You know, you're right. We did it in the same place for many years. And one of my thoughts for several years, and if I ever got this job, was to try to get that out to other parts of the states. Because I view it as it's the state's official recognition of Veterans Day. And I believe every community across the state should have the opportunity to be able to experience it or participate in it. So I was thinking when I first came up with this that, you know, much like some of the events, deer hunting or pheasant opener, mm-hmm. duck, you know, those happen in different places in the state throughout the year and our official events. And so I envisioned it to be the same. You know, we are a state agency. We should be taking this on the road to the entire state.
And Minnesota veterans are in all corners of Minnesota.
Absolutely. So, Yeah, I mean, my first thought was, you know, as we'd done it in the metro for several years, was to kind of move along the quarters of the state. So Mankato being in the southeast, yeah, south central kind of corner was where we decided on for the first one. Not quite sure about next year yet. My thought is Rochester. I've been talking to folks down in Rochester so we can get it over into the, or I said southeast before, it's actually southwest. Rochester, get it over into the southeast, yeah, quarter kind of the state. So I the DAV and the VFW kind of run the current event down there, and I spoke with them seeing if they were willing to have us kind of slip in there for, yeah, the year and take over a bit or work in coordination with them. So more to go on that and more planning, but eventually, yeah.
Well, I got a great idea for you.
What's that?
Well, it's, you know, I'm a big hockey fan,
yeah,
and Hockey Day Minnesota is a big deal. Each of the different cities or communities bid on it.
Mm-hmm.
And so wouldn't it be kind of neat if communities could come together and bid on, you know, hosting the Veterans Day, yeah, program?
Yeah, that's what we had kind of talked about originally based on the openers, because communities, yeah, do the same for those openers. We thought it may be a little over our heads on the effort and our staff available to take care of that at this point. Mm-hmm. But won't say we won't do that in the future.
Well, I know Ann can handle it along with her team. So, all right, Commissioner, we're going to take another quick break here, and then we'll come back. We'll wrap up year in review. I appreciate it. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I have the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs in here doing the year in review show. And Commissioner Lindsay, you know, we spent the last three segments, you know, we had some fun. We poked some jokes and stuff at your comms director. Of course, picked on Dave Bellify a little bit. That's always fun. But, you know, I really want to make sure we have the opportunity in this last segment to look ahead, because that's what this show is all about. We looked back, talked about great success, but, you know, you don't just get to, you know, flip the calendar over and then be done with it. I mean, there's stuff that you're planning for in 2026. Mm-hmm. So maybe you could kind of lay out your vision for 2026 and where you want to bring the agency.
Yeah, yeah, there's stuff that definitely takes time. I always say there's things, you know, I started in 1999. And
I'm sorry, 1999.
Before the turn of the century. And there's things I've literally been working and hoping to achieve by the time I retire.
Okay. And
sometimes things move a little slowly. Sometimes things don't always go the way, yeah, you plan. But, yeah, we definitely, you know, the other piece of that is, I don't think we always have to come up with something, you know, bright and shiny and new. Sometimes you just need to do better the things you're already,
yeah,
doing. So that's somewhat my priorities are involve that. You know, as I talked about, our three new state veterans homes, but also the legacy homes. You know, our Minneapolis home is pretty much at capacity and has done a great job getting there. But in our other homes, we want to get them up to full census because we want to reduce those wait lists. We don't want veterans who want to be admitted into our homes where they'll receive wonderful care and terrific facilities to pass away on a waiting list, mm-hmm, when we've got beds that we could have filled if we just had staff. So that's a big one for us. You know, we talked about homelessness. We're there. We know we've met the requirements. We've continued almost the entire year now to meet those previously set requirements for a functional end to veterans homelessness. We're just waiting on something and trying to figure out how we're going to do Ramsey County. But as I said, it doesn't end there. We have to continue or we'll backslide again,
right,
with that program. Suicide prevention. I talked about our community health navigators. Yeah, we've been hiring. We hired a director in to kind of head up the effort. We've brought in a supervisor for the community health navigators. Now we're hiring the navigators themselves and getting them placed out into the first two community hospitals. And we hope to expand that in the future as well, funding available. One of the things we were tasked with this year was veterans who were part of the special guerrilla units in Vietnam. There was a task force created by the legislature to determine how to prove their service to make them eligible for certain veterans benefits in the state, one of which being a burial and things like that. So that work is ongoing, and we're hoping to have that wrapped up next month so we can give our report back to the legislature so they can act on that as well. One thing new we kind of kicked off here just since Veterans Day is, you know, related again to homelessness, related again to suicide prevention, is food insecurity. You know, we know there are veterans out there who don't get enough food or don't get good quality food and healthy food. So we've been partnering with the Disabled American Veterans and also with the Minnesota Veterans Food Pantry, run by our former host here.
Yeah, Mr. Lyons.
Yep. To set up a kind of a storage and distribution point and a collection point to hopefully, you know, right now they provide food on a monthly basis at the Minneapolis VA hospital, but to expand that over to St. Cloud, to the community-based outpatient clinics and other locations in the communities where we know veterans are in need. And so we're just figuring out how we can be part of that solution as well.
And that, you know, is kind of an interesting thing because obviously, you know, the governor signed an executive order on Veterans Day to authorize the MDVA to provide support and assistance, you know, so you can start working and partnering with different agencies or entities to get after food insecurity. And, you know, we know that things just don't happen overnight. So I'm assuming you're in the process. You have some of these relationships already, but you just don't know. You don't know yet. And you got to figure out how can we best support? Because like you said, the Minneapolis VA is already doing it, but that serves a small population.
Right.
We got people outstate Minnesota that need food.
Right. Absolutely. And we've put together some of the statistics across the state, and, you know, we're targeting special areas where food insecurity is higher than other areas to be our initial distribution points and things like that. But it all takes time. We have to look at what resources we have available. You know, things as simple as how much space do we have in the warehouse to store some of this. We're hoping to get some of our veterans in the domiciliaries, additional work therapy activities to involve them in putting those boxes together that will be distributed. You know, we got to get legal involved to get the agreements in place, and that always takes time. So.
Yeah, it always takes a lot of time. And, you know, what a great thing, though. You talk about, you know, the DOMS helping out, right? Mm-hmm. That's veterans helping veterans.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they need that work program, and that's a great opportunity for them to give back too.
That's the basis of MDVA right there.
Yeah.
Veterans helping veterans.
Veterans helping veterans, and every day is Veterans Day. Yeah. All right. So I've already, we've alluded to it, but Commissioner, the homes, programs and services, are you hiring in both areas? And if so, how can someone find out information about how to become an employee of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs?
Yeah, we generally have positions throughout the year on the programs and services side. Not as many because they're, you know, not as large as our homes division. But yeah, MinnesotaVeteran.org. Go there, our website. We post our staff openings on a daily basis, I believe.
Yeah.
And then that links you into the actual state employment system where you can submit your resumes and your applications and whatnot. And would love to have you.
I think the last time I looked, there were 31 vacancies that were listed. Mm-hmm. And I imagine it kind of hovers right around there. And when I was looking at it, 99.9% of those positions were in healthcare.
Right, right. So, yeah, a lot of them in those three new homes.
Yeah, right. And so we need the assistance there. Please, you know, people go out and take a look at it. Commissioner, we've got about, I don't know, maybe a minute and a half here, I think. No, 2 minutes. You know, let's give you an opportunity so you can directly address not only our Minnesota citizens, but our Minnesota veterans and their families. What kind of messaging do you have for them from you as the commissioner, and then tie that into a holiday message as well?
All right. Very good. Well, I guess, first of all, I appreciate the service of all of our veterans out there throughout the state, and their family members as well, because, you know, they endure the hardships of their veteran service over the years. So first off that, you know, we're here for veterans. You know, it seems like we have a little bit of an effort always ensuring veterans are aware of us. But that's where, as I said before, when you need to go see your county veteran service officer, if you have anything, because there may be things that you're not aware of. Laws change over the years. Things like the PACT Act the last few years added additional disabilities for toxic exposures. So even if you've been there 10 years ago, 5 years ago, go back again, because things may have changed again. But so, yeah, I appreciate everyone's service. I appreciate our veterans. I hope that we are providing, as I said earlier, for those gaps in some of those services out there. And yeah, happy holidays to you and all our veterans.
Well, that's awesome. Well, thank you so much, Commissioner. We appreciate it. And, you know, we appreciate the continued support that the MDVA provides, not only to Minnesota Military Radio, but to our Minnesota veterans. So thank you for that. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Doug.
All right, that's the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs doing a year-in-review show, and want to let you know that before we close out the show, I want to let you know about our next food pantry for veterans. It's Tuesday, December 16th at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. This event takes place the third Tuesday of every month. Thanks for tuning in to Minnesota Military Radio. We appreciate your continued support. We strive to bring you quality content each week and look forward to hearing your feedback and suggestions for future topics and guests. Please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, click on Contact Us to send us your thoughts, questions, or recommendations. Next week, we have our year-in-review show with the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. Today's show and all previous shows can be found on MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Doug Wortham, your host on Minnesota Military Radio. I hope you have a productive week and that you find a moment to thank and honor those who have served and those who continue to serve and sacrifice so that we can all enjoy the liberty and freedom this great country has to offer.